Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now let's see how we are to keep the Sabbath today. We know, and we've taught, and if you haven't gone through those video casts, go back and see all the proof of what is the Sabbath, why we should keep the Sabbath, and so forth. Now we're talking about how to keep the Sabbath. And the most important thing that we learned in the first segment was God puts his presence into the Sabbath day. And you are to be taught, which also means that you are to study. Now let's see something about studying and God's Spirit that is important for us to realize. Because if God puts his presence in the Sabbath day, that means God is going to send his Spirit wherever there are those who are seeking him. Because if you seek God, and when you find what you need to do, you start doing that. And when you see the things you're doing wrong, you repent and change of that. And repentance means to turn and go the other way, turn from your way, turn from the wrong way, and go the right way, which is God's way. Then we find something very, very interesting that God will do, because it is a process that happens with God's Spirit. Now, as we've already covered, every human being has a spirit of man within him or her. God gave us the spirit of man so that we are able to receive the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes into us after repentance and baptism, it unites with our spirit by the begettal of the Holy Father. And we become a child of God the Father. But until that time, God leads us. God calls us. Be through circumstances in your life, trauma, difficulty, death, accidents. It can be just you're seeking to want to know what the truth is and you really want to do what God says. God's Spirit will be with you. Now let's come to John the 6th chapter and let's see what God's Spirit will do. And this is all a part of how to keep the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath day was meant as God's day of instruction and teaching with prayer and with study so that you can grow into the perfection of the children of God and be ready for the first resurrection when Jesus returns. That's the whole purpose of the Sabbath day. That's why we are to remember it. That's why we are to rest on it. That's why we are to cease from our works. And then we will also see that God wants us to use it in this positive way. If we respond to him and seek him, God responds to us. And here's how he does it. And when you do that, there is a drawing to God. It's like one man said, something's happening in my life and I don't know what it is. Well, it is that God is drawing you to him. Now you have to respond. God will keep drawing you, but if you cut it off and leave God, he'll withdraw. Now here in John the 6th chapter, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. So, if you want to come to Christ, you have to yield to God and seek his word, and the Father will draw you. And as he draws you to him spiritually, then you're going to find that you're going to be learning. And the greatest way to learn is to keep the Sabbath day. And since this is Church at Home, keep the Sabbath day at home. And we'll have some other things on how to keep the Sabbath day at home. But the most important thing is to learn of God. That's what verse 45 tells us. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father, that means you respond to the Father, and has learned, So you come to learn these things of God, which you didn't know before, comes to me, Jesus said. Now let's look at something else that's very important concerning the Word of God, which we need to understand occurs all the time, but especially so on the Sabbath. Now one man asked me, who had never kept the Sabbath, he said, "Well, why should I keep the Sabbath?" I said, "Okay." I said, "You obviously need to know why you need to keep the Sabbath. So I'll tell you what you do. You take a whole month, and every Sabbath during that month, you do Bible study and prayer and study about the Sabbath, what it's all about and what God wants you to do. And at the end of that month, you will understand why the Sabbath." So he did that very thing. And guess what? At the end of the month, he said, "Now I know why we're to keep the Sabbath." So then he repented and was baptized, received the Spirit of God, and continued growing in grace and knowledge till the very end of his life, and he died in the faith. So he'll be in the first resurrection. Now let's come down here to verse 63 of John 6. Here's an important thing, because the Bible is like no other book, and the Sabbath is like no other day. So if you combine those two together and use them rightly, then something is going to happen in your life that has never happened before. You're going to begin to understand the Word of God. And there is also going to be a spiritual connection that will take place between the words that you read and also the understanding in your mind. And that's the operation of the Spirit of God, plus what Jesus said about the words that you are reading. Because the Bible is like no other book. No other book in the world can do what the Bible does, because these words are God-breathed, meaning that they were inspired of God's Spirit. So notice what Jesus said here concerning what the Spirit does and how the Word of God fits into that. Verse 63, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why we are to study the words of Jesus. That's why we are to study the entire Bible. Now think about it for just a minute. We should treasure the Bible and the Word of God and really want to use it in our lives, because this is the most important thing that we can do. When you come right down to understanding it, everything else that we do falls into a category below knowing the Word of God, using the Spirit of God, and understanding the Word of God. Now notice what he says. They are spirit and they are life, because the Bible can impart knowledge to you that no other book can. Now it's also going to do something else to you. Now, let's come to Hebrews 4, and while we're turning there, let's ask the question, what other book in the world really lays bare the sins of the major leaders that God used? The answer is none. Can you imagine a bibliography about the Democrat Party or the Republican Party or whatever political party? And the loyalists, oh, they would never mention any of the sins. Oh, of course not. This man was nearly perfect, etc., etc. You know, some people are so hung up on ideology that here with the recent earthquake in Japan and the carrier Ronald Reagan was going there, that the president of the United States, being a Democrat, Barack Hussein Obama, could not even mention the name the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan was dispatched to assist in the recovery effort of the Japanese. He couldn't bring himself to even mention that name. Here is what the Word of God does. No other book in the Bible can do this. And this is also why we keep the Sabbath and keep it at home. And how to keep it? We not only are these words spirit and life for us, but they are given so we can change, so we can correct, so we can repent of our sins. Because as you read these things, it will show you what human nature is. It will show you the evil that's in the depth of your being. It will expose these things. And don't you want to get rid of those? Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. See, they are living. It's just like the law of gravity. It is alive. Though it's written on paper, as Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And now they're written down for us, and now they are spirit and life, so that when we read it with the spirit of man that is in us and the Holy Spirit that is in us, we are taught, we are corrected, we are changed, we are led to repentance, we are inspired to understand the greatness of God's calling and the purpose of his Sabbath and his holy days. Listen, I want to tell you something. It is so fantastic what God has that if those who would quit sneering at the Sabbath and quit exalting their self-righteousness of Sunday and their holidays, you know, this world would be a different place and their lives would be much different too. But they won't do it, see, because they won't yield to the correction of the Word of God. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of both the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No other book in the world pierces into the depths of human nature to expose the evil that lies within. And it does it so that you can repent. And God's Spirit brings these things to your attention so you can change your life and get rid of them. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. That's why church at home becomes important, because in the critical days that we are living with evil all around us, the best place to begin to keep the Sabbath is at home. Now, we'll cover some other things concerning here in just a minute. Now, let's notice also this, verse 13. And there is not a created thing that is not manifested in his sight, for all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, you may fool some of the people part of the time, you may fool all the people part of the time, but you can never fool God at any time. Never forget that. God knows. And remember this, God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you to come to him. That's why the Word of God is devised the way that it is. Because how's your life been if you've been cut off from God? Most lives are pretty miserable, empty, vain, hollow, no purpose, no fulfillment. Well, the Sabbath day is that day which fills in that vacuum with the Spirit of God and the presence of God so that your life becomes changed. Now, you've got Christ in heaven above. He is there to help. He is there to forgive. He is there as your high priest. Notice, having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things according to the likeness of our temptations, yet he was without sin. So this gives us hope. Because he died for you. He died for all humanity. But now then becomes the question. When you hear the call, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What are you going to do? Are you going to respond to God? Are you going to come to Jesus Christ? Are you going to forsake your sins? are you going to keep the Sabbath in spirit and in truth, so that you can learn of God, grow in grace and knowledge, develop a relationship with God? See, these are things we all have to choose and decide and act upon. Now continuing, verse 16, therefore, here's what he said, we should come with boldness to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And after all, isn't the Sabbath a day of mercy? Didn't Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Yes, he did. Now the Pharisees, they couldn't understand that. No, no. Oh, my. The one who came to save them, they rejected. Isn't that something? Let's come here to John 5. Let's see what happened with a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, it doesn't tell us what it was, but it was some kind of infirmity affecting his bones and muscles so he couldn't walk. And there was a pool of Siloam not too far from the temple. God, in his mercy, to demonstrate that his presence was there at the temple, would send an angel to agitate the water that was in the pool, and the first one into the pool would be healed. So here was this man. He had been there many, many, many years, and he had this infirmity for 38 years, and Jesus came and looked him in the eye and said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? And he said, well, no one's able to put me down in the water. He said, pick up your bedroll and walk. So he did. Now, bedroll's about the size of a sleeping bag. So there he is, walking into the temple, rejoicing, praising God. Jesus disappeared someplace in the crowd, and he didn't know where he was. And the Pharisees, seeing him, came up to him and said, who told you to carry your bedroll on the Sabbath day? He says, the man who healed me. And they didn't know that it was Jesus. So afterwards, Jesus found the man. And he said, you have been made whole. Go and sin no more. So Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. Then when the Jews found out that it was Jesus who did that, they wanted to kill him. Now, let's read it here. Verse 16, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Then Jesus answered something that they couldn't understand. See, because it says on the Sabbath day, you are to rest from your works. But the key thing that we're learning concerning the Sabbath day is there are spiritual works such as healing, such as learning, such as drawing close to God in prayer and in study, such as visiting the sick and helping those who are poor. Those are all part of the things of the Sabbath day. When they came to accuse him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, and they said, you have broken the Sabbath day. Well, he didn't. Even some people today say, well, because he was accused of breaking the Sabbath day, therefore, the Sabbath day has been abolished. Well, when you come to understand that kind of reasoning, that's insanity. So if you've heard that from the pulpit, you better ask yourself the question, why am I still going to this church? Go ahead and take church at home instead. You're going to learn some more. Now notice his answer. My Father is working until now, and I work. That made him even more mad, because not only did he loose the Sabbath day, but he called God his Father, making himself equal with God. Now that's another whole story in itself, isn't it? So part of the thing you can learn on the Sabbath is who and what was Jesus Christ before he became the Son of Man. What does this tell us? Spiritual work on the Sabbath is what God wants us to do. And that is prayer, study, draw close to God, be with your family, cut off the outside world. It's your home. You have control over it. Now let's see. Let's come back here to the book of Isaiah. And guess what? In the book of Isaiah, we find just exactly as the Apostle Paul had said to Timothy, that if you know the writings, the holy writings, they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, let's come here to Isaiah 56, and let's see some things concerning the Sabbath day that Isaiah said, and we are going to see that these are really prophecies for today. Prophecies for the New Testament church. Let's read it. Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. That's talking about the New Testament times. Notice, keep justice. That means be fair, be honorable, do righteousness. All the commandments of God are righteousness. And if you keep the commandments of God in the spirit, not just in the letter, but in the spirit from the heart, then you're doing it truly in righteousness that comes from God. For my righteousness is to be revealed. Now, is that what you want in your life? Do you want God to reveal his righteousness to you so you have a proper relationship between you and God? Yes, indeed, that's what we should all have, isn't it? All right, verse 2. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Okay, let's put that in terms of today's terminology. Profaning it means to make it secular. Profaning it means doing your business. Profaning it means doing things that are of this world. So today, what does that mean? That means that on the Sabbath day, turn off the television. That means put away all of your electronic games. That means don't work on your sports. Don't work on your hobbies. Make the Sabbath an active, keeping, spiritually centered day to learn of God. Now, that's why we have church at home, so you can do that. And to keep your hand from doing any evil. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about those things in just a bit, but let's see the blessing that God gives it, see? And why this is not just for the Jews. I don't know how the Jews can come along and say, well, the Sabbath day was made for the Jews when Jesus said it was made for man. This is our Sabbath when Jesus said, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, let's read it here. And let not the son of the stranger who is a Gentile. See? Gentiles are to keep the Sabbath. Notice what this says here. Who has joined himself to the Lord. Now I want you to think about that statement for a minute. It doesn't say who has joined a church. See, because the word church comes from the Greek ekklesias, which means the called out ones who assemble together. Now, wherever the saints of God, 2, 3, 4, are assembled, Spirit of God is there, that is a church because it is a gathering of those who are responding to God, who are coming out of the world, and who are learning of God. Now, as you will find later, there are hundreds of groups like this, and there are times when we all get together at different locations. So you will be surprised how many people are out there really keeping the Sabbath. But first, you have to start at home to learn the basics. Let's go forward here. Let not the son of the stranger who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people, and do not let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. No. How do you overcome these difficulties? Verse 4. Thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, plural, weekly and annual. Think on that. and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. That's the new covenant. Even to them will I give within my house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons of daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name which shall not be cut off. Now that is eternal life, would you not say? Are these not the requirements for the New Testament, for keeping the Sabbath, for coming to God? Don't accuse God, but draw close to him. Yes, indeed. So even though it's a eunuch, don't worry about the things that happen in your life. God can help you. Do what you can to get out of the troubles and difficulties. But you need God's help to do it. And the place to begin to get out of those is by keeping the Sabbath at home. So this is why it's important that you have church in your house, church at home. So once again, this is Fred Coulter saying, thank you for inviting me into your home, and please go to our other website, cbcg.org, and there we have hundreds of sermons, prophecies up to date, right up front that you can download and analyze today's world news. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and so long, everyone.